Hello, friends. This is the Angel of the Presence Commentaries, number 7, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 47. We're on Ray 6, the Ray 6 Angel of the Presence. When I call it that, of course, we have to take into consideration that we do not know the ray of the angel, whether it's exactly the same as the soul ray of the individual, the same as the monadic ray of the individual, or whether the angel, which has more than one ray, no doubt, as all entities in cosmos do, whether one or other of those rays is being used, or whether the angel has the capability of choosing whatever ray to work with when working with the human monad. But let us read the sixth ray stanza, ray six. The angel of the presence reaches down and at the midway point pierces the fog of glamour. The path stands clear. The one who treads the path and stops to fight, who wrestles blindly with the two who seek to hinder and to blind, sees the way free. It stands revealed. He ceases from the clamor and the fight. He finds his way into the presence. Knee to knee and foot to foot they stand, hand to hand and breast to breast, forehead to forehead, see them stand, and thus they merge and blend. The trumpet call goes forth. The warfare is no more. The battle ends. The glamour and the clouds have disappeared. The light and glory of the way is here. That light reveals the plan. The whole is with us now. The purpose is revealed. With all I have, I serve that plan. It's so interesting to see how the service of the plan is stated in the various stanzas. Here we have, with all I have, I serve the plan. We have a more reasonable statement for the fifth ray, I therefore serve the plan. And simply, I serve the plan. In harmony with all united souls, I serve the plan. I will, with love and mind, to serve that plan, that plan I know, and there is the synthesis here of the triangle, or all three aspects are taken together, given that it's the third ray. I serve the plan, I serve the whole, with love and understanding. I give my heart's deep love. It's a little different. Unto the whole I give my heart's deep love. It's a little different from with all I have. I serve the plan. I serve the plan with will, the whole with power. That is definitely along the line of the first ray. And the seventh ray type says, the plan is served, no word need then be said. It's rather objective, rather detached, interestingly. All right, we'll keep this one handy, and we'll go back here to the first. And here we are. All right. The angel of the presence is standing, on the higher mental plane, focused on the higher mental plane at some particular point, and probably since it has to, in a way, substand the egoic lotus, part of it is certainly focused there. We have angels focused as well at the monastic permanent atom, and maybe, you know, we have to find out where the superior angel of the, the superior solar angel is focused. We can wonder whether the angel of the presence covers all of the functions that have to be accomplished within the egoic lotus, because the solar angel is responsible for various emanations, I suppose, into the into the causal body, or sustaining into the matter of the higher mental plane, and sustaining the causal body, the egoic lotus. So does the angel of the presence somehow cover all of these? Or does the angel of the presence have a very specific task? And are there other emanations into the egoic lotus? I'm assuming that the solar angel stands free except for its emanations to sustain the egoic lotus. This whole factor of how the solar angel is a group being, and how various solar petries, where do they come from? I believe they are emanated from the solar angel, are responsible for various functions within the egoic lotus, and also in relation to the monastic permanent atom and the lower triangle, so atomic triangle. So is the angel of the presence simply one of these emanations, or does this angel somehow cover all of these solar petric functions? Again, this would be hard to discern specifically. But we have to keep it in mind, the idea of a group being, the solar angel as a group being, or emanating a group being, which substands in the various divisions of the emanations, the egoic lotus. In other words, something is working to shape this matter of the higher mental plane into the egoic lotus and stay with it, with its quality. And that, I believe, comes from the great solar angel. Perhaps the angel of the presence is somehow the synthesis of all of these different petries as they function within the egoic lotus. Anyway, reaches down, down from the higher mental plane. And what would the midway point be? And at the midway point pierces the fog of glamour. This is an assertive action. And it's an action of, what can we say, it's intervention. Definitely becoming involved in the lower worlds. Now, the midway point I take to be the solar plexus center. And it is that particular center which is controlling the astral plane, and the fog of glamour particularly is found in relation to the astral plane. Fog of glamour found particularly in relation to the astral plane, and thus in relation to the solar plexus center. So now there has been a divine intervention, and the usual state of consciousness of the, let's call it, returning one, is clarified, because the integrity of the glamour is challenged by a piercing, which will make it fall apart, which will make it dissipate. And the path stands clear. Now, I assume this to be the path of one following a certain ray, in this case, the sixth ray. And I assume this to be the path into the causal body, egoic lotus, causal body, egoic lotus, right. The path into soul consciousness, I assume this to mean. The path into soul, because we're not talking about the way of higher evolution, any such path as that. Now, it's kind of interesting that the word one is capitalized, because we are dealing here with the returning emanation of the monad, returning now to a soul state. And, well, do we capitalize that word one, because really we're dealing with the monad in emanation? So do we capitalize the word one, because we are dealing with an emanation? Let's get that straight. Of the monad. In any case, well, we know there is only one returning being. In all the many emanations that have been given forth, only one being in many different divisions, apparent divisions, is returning. But in any case, I think we are talking about the Blessed One as he functions in the world before he realizes he really is the Blessed One and has manifested that he is the Blessed One. So the one who treads the path and stops to fight, he stops his progress. The fighting stops his progress more often than not, because he's often fighting for superficial things, but it is his nature. This is the Martian nature, and of course he is fighting for his ideals. And in this kind of fight, he desires that, so we say, his ideals overcome the ideals of others. It's different from the fourth ray, which eventually, as it becomes more enlightened, works for a win-win situation. So he's very sensitive in his solar plexus and very easily offended when his ideals are offended. Very sensitive in his solar plexus, and will respond combatively when his ideals are threatened. So the desensitization of the solar plexus center is deeply needed by the sixth ray type. And have we made this sixth ray type? Not yet. So let's get that, because we'll refer to him. The sixth ray type. In this case, it's the sixth ray soul, the sixth ray angel of the presence. Sixth ray type. So he stops to fight, and who wrestles blindly. See, it's so interesting, although the sixth ray is the ray of vision, although the sixth ray is the ray, let's call it the ray of vision, later, at first, it is relatively blind. And blind, and as it says, sees only that which is the space before its eyes. So short-sighted, really, and that later will turn into long-sightedness, later into long-sightedness. Once there is a certain amount of patience and restraint and a willingness to scan the far horizon rather than react immediately to an apparent offense to his beliefs and ideals. So he wrestles blindly with the two who seek to hinder and to blind. Well, in a certain sense, from one point of view, glamour and illusion seek to hinder and to blind. Whoops. Okay, here we are. Glamour and illusion seek to hinder, right, and to blind. And in another sense, in another sense, yes, we have the pairs of opposites, which always hinder and blind until one understands the way through them. So this is a life which is filled with conflict between the pairs of opposites, with conflict between the pairs of opposites. And until the commotion dies down, there is no clear vision. Well, I think, you know, when we look at the fighters, we see, interestingly, both Mars and Mercury. Mercury is sometimes called the star of conflict. And Mars, of course, is the warrior planet. There is a difference, though, because for Mars, you know, only the ultimate victory serves, and for Mercury, the win-win, for the fourth ray, the win-win, let victory crown the efforts of the Blessed One by harmonizing all. This is very different from the Martian will to triumph, but both fight. Let's just say that the sixth ray type is more confident in his battle, at least confident that he is right, even though there may be a deeply underlying sense of insecurity, because the sixth ray type is not the great psychologist and fails to understand his own motives and his own psychological state, projecting those things upon other people. I suppose that the ray which is most involved in projection would be the sixth ray, because it has no real interior sense of the nature of the inner psyche, or very little anyway. The first ray with his paranoia also might tend to project. The second ray maybe least will tend to project, because it understands its own psyche and the way that psychic content can be transferred to others, as if they were the source of it. It sees with understanding this process. So anyway, the returning one, the Blessed One, the monad in abstraction on his way home, sees the way free. And again, this way, this is not the way of higher evolution, but the way into the presence of the soul, as the angel of the presence also has a presence, and eventually into the true presence itself, once the angel has been sent home. So the way to the higher mental plane stands revealed. Interestingly, we're beginning here at a rather lower level than in some cases, because we have a statement in Ray 5 where a very definite position of spiritual service is being taken by the angel. In Ray 4, the angel is standing upon the lighted way in beauty rare. With Ray 3, we're on the higher mental plane again, with the angel of the presence standing in the center of the whirling forces. Ray 2, there is a drawing of the wanderer and attracting of the seeker, but it's not a reaching into the lower worlds per se. And again with Ray 1, standing within the light divine on the higher mental plane. So it's only here in Ray 6, because in Ray 7 we're lifting one hand into heaven, at least one hand into heaven, and plunging deep to the other into the sea of form. So it's not totally into the lower worlds. But here we are definitely intervening in the lower worlds with the Ray 6 type. Or the angel for the Ray 6 type. And we're immediately descending into the conditions of the lower worlds and looking at the way that this Ray 6 type might find the way into the presence of the angel of the presence. So the way stands revealed. And finally, there is a ceasing of commotion, because he, who is the, let's call it, the returning one. There's so many different synonyms we can give for this, you know, the soul in incarnation, realizing its home, the returning monad, the monad in abstraction, the monad in retraction, the blessed one returning, the disciple, the one who treads the path. All of these have to do with action within the lower world, but with an orientation towards the plane of soul. So, the way stands free, the way into the presence of the solar angel, and then further beyond, perhaps, into the presence itself. See, that's one thing I wanted to say, and I don't think I emphasized it enough earlier, that an aspect of the presence, at least its quality, can be sensed when there still is an angel of the presence, because in a way the angel reveals something of this presence, not the fullness of it, because the angel will have to get out of the way, so to speak, before the fullness of the presence can be revealed. Of course, you know, as the Antikorana is retracted and as we reach the fifth initiation and then go to the sixth, whatever the presence is will intensify until one knows with beyond all doubt that one is that presence. At the same time, one is still, even on the monadic plane, one is still encumbered by the vehicles of expression of the monad. And I can't help but think that as monadic retraction proceeds, an intensification of the realization of what the presence really is can only grow until it reaches its most intense point for a particular universe, when we find ourselves identified as the universal logos just before the final pralaya. And even, you know, even that presence, which one realizes that one is, that being, that beingness, there's something in me that wants to say that it is infinitely reduced in its intensity compared to the, well, whatever transpires within the infinitescence, within the only one that is and ever has been and ever will be, that even with the realization of as full being as may be possible within any universe, that there's still a huge, infinite, I would say infinite gap between that and the absoluteness, which is, I suppose, just this overwhelming bliss, except there's no one to be overwhelmed. So, you know, obviously it can't be spoken of, really. So he finds his way now. He ceases from the clamor and the fight. So, you know, he is a warrior, or at least His sixth ray planet, Mars, is that of the warrior. We also call the fourth ray type the warrior, but this is a warrior that learns to stand in a steadfast way. The true fighter for an ideal would combine the fourth ray and the sixth ray. So finally, there is a measure of peace and clarity in his approach to the light. A measure of peace and clarity supervenes as he approaches soul light on its own plane. Its own plane. And he finds his way into the presence. Now, before I might have said, before I had this realization, that somehow the angel of the presence would have to clear, would have to be gone before he could really find his way into the presence. But what I'm beginning to see here, and, you know, I wish I, well, you know, when making these kinds of programs, you can't really go back and find the exact place and somehow correct it. That's why, in a way, many of them have to be listened to, watching me catch my own mistakes, okay? But he finds his way into the presence or into that portion of the presence which the angel of the presence can reveal, or which can be appreciated in the presence of the angel of the presence. Later, the appreciation of the presence will intensify as the angel, as the solar angel, wings its way home, taking with it that stream of itself, which we think of as the angel of the presence. I'm getting a little bit, I don't know, a little bit more definite about that, that the angel of the presence definitely must be incorporated into the egoic lotus and causal body, but the fullness of the solar angel does not have to be incorporated. It has its own life, but there is a portion of it, a stream of itself, which is very thoroughly engaged with the egoic processes. And these and the demand set up by these processes will intensify over time, especially once the fifth petal is in process of being experienced. Now here is the chakric exchange. It was not so obvious, was it? At least it wasn't so obvious to me in the fifth ray stanza. The light that radiates from the heart, the throat, and from the center, which stands midway, meet and merge. See, that's pretty well how this chakric exchange was handled in the fifth ray stanza. But if we just think of the idea of chakric exchange. So think of the idea of chakric exchange and how a fuller measure of all the qualities that one possesses, which are good qualities, can be found within the solar angel, and that fuller measure somewhat imparted to us via our chakra system, raising our game, raising our ability through each one of the chakras. We can almost imagine that this exchange can go on at selected high points of energy intensity, or it can go on more ongoingly through the use of our creative imagination. We need something. As we stand at present, we should be dissatisfied with how we are manifesting. It's never a full enough representation of the solar angel. So this angel of the presence, who's really a part of our egoic nature, faces us in this particular case, and the exchange begins. So knee to knee, and you know, what will be the result of knee to knee? It's a Capricorn part of the body. So we can ask that, will there be increased humility, because the bending the knee is something that every Capricorn has to learn to do, lest they become rigid and inflexible and do not honor divinity as higher than themselves. Well, in one way, divinity is higher than oneself. In another way, it is oneself. And that is the paradoxical state of mind in which we find ourselves, knee to knee and foot to foot. We remember what was said about the foot, that the power to tread the path is conveyed to the foot. So humility and strength to tread the path. Are conferred by the solar angel as the angel of the presence, and they stand knee to knee, foot to foot. We might wonder, you know, exactly how this is brought about. Is there a literal stance of this nature, or are these particular chakras of the knees and of the feet engaged? And then there would be no need for the more dense aspect to touch, aspects to touch each other. Hand to hand, breast to breast, well, we've encountered these words before. The power of the hand. But we have to ask, maybe are both hands involved in this case, rather than right hand to left, as we saw in the case of the third ray. Hand to hand and breast to breast, so this is nurturance and sensitivity conveyed. Nurturance and sensitivity. Forehead to forehead, see them stand. Well, this is Ajna to Ajna, and vision to vision, see them stand. So they will now share the same goals. And there is a sense in which the solar angel, well, let's call it the angel of the presence for the moment, can see a number of lives backward, a number of lives forward, can see how the individual it is supervising can aid in the plan because it understands the plan very fully. So we see actually here 5 points of contact. It is interesting that the solar plexus is the fifth center. So we see 5 points of contact with the solar plexus center as the fifth center from above, at least fifth major. And thus they merge and blend. So through humility, strength to tread the path, strength of hand to serve, power of the hand to serve, remembering the use of the hand in service, breast to breast for nurturance and sensitivity, and forehead to forehead for the vision forward. There is a time that DK tells us that the sixth ray, with its tendency towards vision and towards following the vision in a one-pointed way, will control the Ajna center. 5 points of contact here. Is that equal than any other? Usually there are just three. Maybe when we think of the fourth ray type, back to back, we can have the centers along the spine united. And that will bring five centers united. Can we think of the head center along the spine? Well, in a way, it tops the spine. So in future days, the method of occult transference from the angel of the presence to the man will be known in a detailed manner, and the methods of cultivating that exchange will be worked on, because it is the goal and destiny of the angel of the presence to give what it has in right proportion to the man, so the man, the candidate, the returning monad, whatever, can reflect in the lower worlds that which the angel of the presence possesses. Okay. The trumpet call goes forth, and you know, it does this for the sixth ray and also for the fourth ray. These two seem to have quite a bit in common, but the fourth ray has graduated a bit from the sixth ray because it seeks peace rather than prevalence. It seeks a kind of a harmonious union rather than the domination by the victor of those who have been overcome. This is not a fourth ray solution. I'm reminded of Alexander the Great. He had Aries rising. He was a first ray soul, had I think a fourth ray personality, had tremendous will to conquer. Good Lord, you know, he was one of the great conquerors, and he was so aggressive, so assertive, that he was always, goes the story, first on the battlements in any attack. But when he conquered Persia, what did he do? He began to dress in Persian clothes and to learn about Persian culture, and sought to unify and blend the Greek culture and the Persian culture. Some sort of win-win situation. Did he actually succeed? Well, I think he died before he could. So the vortex, the trumpet, you know, the fourth ray type is called the trumpet of the Lord, and here we have the idea of the trumpet in relation to the sixth ray, all that rouses. Rouses one to battle. All that arouses. All that arouses one to battle. And the idea of giving a great stimulation to coordinated effort on the battlefield. I mean, you know, it's hard to sit on one's couch like a couch potato when reveille is sounding forth, when the trumpet is summoning one to greater intensity. I think that's what we have to say about the trumpet. The trumpet summons the hearer to greater intensity of what? Of life expression. And then the statement is made, as it often is made when a voice sounds forth. Here it's not a voice. Not a voice, not a word. It's a trumpet. And maybe that is going to mean something to us. Not a word, not a voice, but a trumpet. And who is the trumpeter? Maybe just the situation itself of fusion arouses the sound of the trumpet, a clarion call to a new type of action, to a new type of action. I went to a kind of a music camp through for 6 years of my life, and I got so used to it. It was patterned on something of a military model. It had a fourth-ray soul, I'm pretty sure, the whole organization, but an absolutely seventh-ray personality, so everything was quite structured and timed and scheduled, and you had to be running here and there to make your classes. I'm very glad that I was exposed to that at a young age, because it stayed with me. But of course, you know, as we would have it in the military, the trumpets were everywhere. And of course, being a music camp, you had your fair share of excellent trumpeters and buglers. I remember sometimes the very, very good trumpeters would be sounding the reveille or the second call or the taps, you know, or final call. There's different names, I forget them all, but they always tell you what time it is, and they arouse you into a state of alertness, so you have to respond. There's so much intensity with the sixth ray and the capability of being brought to that keen edge of alertness. All right. So what is said when the trumpet call goes forth, and who says it? You know, some greater entity observes the following, and then finally, the pilgrim, let's call him that now, pilgrim speaks. And so it is with some of the earlier ones, or earlier stanzas as well. The voice speaks and reveals the condition as it is. And for the fourth ray, a voice goes forth and tells the condition as it is. And this time, in the third ray, it is man as the soul who cries forth. And for the second ray, it's the word of the soul that cries forth, but it's the word of the man in a way too, because it's a lowercase word, and he's saying what he does. So there's a mixture here. Here it is, and for the first ray, it's the man again. So there's a mixture of the soul speaking and of the man speaking. And what does the soul say here? The warfare is no more, the battle ends. A great clarification has occurred. The glamour and the clouds, the obscurations in the lower worlds, in the lower worlds have disappeared. Obscurations. Yes, it is a word. Obscurations. So, you know, and I'm remembering the fourth ray call, rise up and fight, he says, and reconcile the armies of the Lord. There is no battle. Force the conflict to subside. Send for the invocation of the peace of all, you see. And he's going to say peace lies behind the warring forces, but that's a different way of looking at this. Let's just say that for a time, the sword has been put down. And as a result, the confusion and the smoke and the dust and general poor visibility of the battlefield all subsides. And the result is it settles. There's a settling. And one can see. And one saw a little earlier, because there's a repetition here, the way, the path stands clear, or the way stands free. Notice when we say the path stands clear, it's not necessarily free yet. But when the way stands free, as is the case a little bit earlier, and sees the way free, the obstructions have ended, because he himself is creating the obstructions in many ways. So the way to the soul is cleared of obstructions. And the man himself no longer acts as an obstruction to his own process, to his own forward movement. Whoa. Okay. So then, this is part of the general description. The trumpet sound has clarified our vision. Let's just put that in. This trumpet sound clarifies the vision of the, well, he is a warrior, he is a battler of the fighter. Let's call him that. In Scorpio, we sometimes call the person under that type of energy the fighter. So there's a clarification, a great observation. The warfare is no more, the battle ends, the glamour and the clouds have disappeared. The fighter doesn't even know it is glamour, but it is disappearing, and he sees his way. The path stands clear, and he sees the way free. And what instead is there? What instead of the glamour in the clouds? What appears? So, what appears instead of the glamour and the clouds? Well, the light and glory of the way toward the glorification of the transfiguration. The light and glory of the way. We'll call it a way now, instead of a path, but really they're the same. The light and glory of the way towards the glorification of the transfiguration. So into increasing glory, into increasing light, because the glamour and the illusion have blocked out the light, and now it is seen. A path of light into a greater light. So the light and glory of the way is here, and this is the, let's call it the unobstructed way, not the the impedimented way or the obstructed way, the not the impedimented way. I know maybe there's no such word, but I kind of like it, you know. So it is the way which leads to ever greater glory, ever greater light into the presence of the solar angel. And, you know, some intimation of the still greater light beyond on the true way which leads to mastership, and even the greater way which leads to the higher evolution. So now the light and glory of the way is here. We might even consider this way as the way which leads beyond the third degree, the way to mastership. It's as if, you know, well, the path and the way, you know, they are both similar terms, and you can continue to tread the path to mastership, but maybe beyond the third initiation, we can begin to call it the way. And certainly there is an increasing glory from the third degree on until the great revelation is made, a higher type of illumination is achieved at the fifth degree, an illumination which reveals the cosmos and the cosmic paths. So the light and glory of the way ahead, and the light and glory of the angel of the presence and of the general soul state at the time of transfiguration, that light reveals the plan. It's always greater knowledge or greater light. There is a something, well, let's get that right, something on the higher mental plane reveals the plan. Not fully, as it would be appreciated by a master on the atmic plane, but still there is a revelation of presence and plan. Okay, so that light that leads us on to greater glory, glory is such a big word with the sixth ray type. You think about some of the, you know, six-ray spirituals and so forth. It's bound for glory, bound for glory. Not in the state of glory, but always intending to tread the path to glory. Glory is there of a mental kind for the third-ray type, and the second-ray type is called the displayer of glory. And there's such luminescence with the fifth ray, which rules the third initiation, that you think that its type of light has to be involved in the glory, too. So remember, plan and hold. Plan and hold, these two things occur together. That light reveals the plan, which was obscured by the glamour and the clouds. The whole is with us now. This is very different from the whole is seen. It is, we can say it's almost tangible. It's almost, it is almost tangible. It is felt with the sixth ray being the ray that is associated with the sense of touch, particularly. Seventh ray, hearing, sixth ray, touch. Fifth ray, sight. Fourth ray, taste. Third ray, sense of smell, in a way, and also connected with the sixth ray, or the sense of smell, relating to the sixth plane, you know, catching the scent and finding your way home to the monadic plane. So we cannot avoid the presence of the whole. We cannot avoid the presence of the whole, or wholeness. In other words, this whole is always with us now. Earlier in the mystic phase, God the whole was present now and then and would fade out, and the mystic would go through the agonies of the abandonment by God, and then would come the rising of the pitch and the frequency until once again God, the wholeness, was visible. But the whole is with us now. This is the steadiness of the third degree. So, you know, there is some kind of assurance at the third degree that one will not turn back. At the midway point between the second and third degree, to me, is that point of confirmed orientation which leads to a real point of early Syrian stability at the third degree. The whole is with us now. And because we are sensitive to the wholeness, the purpose, P-U-R, of that whole can be revealed. And this was something that really eluded the six-ray type, because it requires a purpose, requires a wider point of view. A wider point of view, but when one is finding oneself within the egoic lotus causal body and it is one's true and temporary home, then the purpose of the first aspect of divinity, the will is touching, the monad is touching, it brings the purpose into mind, into consciousness. Funny how we use mind and consciousness as the same. Mind is really a particular faculty, and consciousness an aspect, the second aspect of divinity. Consciousness and love, sentiency, they all go together, and they reflect a kind of sensitivity to touch, in a way. Yeah. Well, from some points of view, the first aspect can be associated with sight, and the second aspect with touch, and the third aspect with hearing, if we begin from the top and work down from the sense of sight. Oh, but we can also begin from the bottom, you know, with hearing at the seventh and touch at the sixth and sight at the fifth. So it kind of shows you the connection then between the first ray and the fifth ray through the sense of sight, and the second ray and the sixth ray through the sense of touch, and the third ray and the seventh ray through the touch sense of hearing. The whole is with us now inescapably. We have entered into the joy of proved success. We know, I know all souls are one. I dwell within a world of unity. I know all souls are one. And I think when it says the whole is with us now, it means the sense of the whole does not leave my consciousness. And so then comes the definite statement of the returning one. Sometimes we have to wait until the very last sentence. It's difficult to know who's speaking at first. You know, is it the larger perspective that is speaking? Or is it the returning one, soul-infused, who is speaking? By the time we reach the final sentences, it's pretty well the returning one. With all I have, soul-infused as I am now, at one with the angel of the presence, with all I have, I serve that plan. And here is, again, the you put your whole self in and your whole self out, you know. This is the extremism, the holism of the sixth ray. Well, maybe I shouldn't call it holism. Let's just say the non-restraint, nothing held back of the sixth ray. Giving it one's all. Sometimes you hear those phrases, oh, I gave it 110%. Well, you know, it's illogical, but it expresses the idea of the degree of intensity needed to commit thoroughly to any project, the 110%. So it's as if with 110% I serve the plan, with all I have and more. Well, is there any more than all you have? But the six-ray types are liable to say, with all I have and even more, you know. pedal to the metal, going all the way and further, going all the way and further. So this is complete consecration of all energies to the task, to the plan. You know, nothing like a convert for intensity. You know, it's well understood that those who newly convert to a religion observe the religion with greater intensity and scrupulousness than those who have been with it for a long time. It is the process of the hour and of utmost importance to the convert. And so they give it their all and more, if I can say. So let me then do as I do. Generally, I read this and just say a few things as I go along. It seems a good way. Then just read the stanza. The angel of the presence from the higher mental plane reaches down into the chakric system of man, whether the astral or the etheric chakras, and maybe even to the mental chakras, but especially the etheric and emotional chakras, reaches down into the lower worlds and in relation to the astral plane, and at the midway point, which we are considering the solar plexus, pierces the fog and glamour which solar plexus reactivity has generated. The fog of glamour, the lack of vision, of true vision, the distortion, the unclarity, the inability to see clearly, all of that is pierced, and thus the process of destruction has begun. The destruction, I disperse the clouds, says Spain, with its six-ray soul. Interesting. And I carve the paths, something like that, for the road-building six-ray of Italy. But I disperse the clouds is really a case in point here. The path to the higher mental plane, from where the returning one stands, the bewildered returning one, now no longer bewildered, the path for him stands clear. The one, who really is the extension of the monad, and so we'll call it one with a capital, who treads the path and stops to fight for his ideals, who wrestles blindly with the pairs of opposites, and wrestles blindly with glamour and illusion to name another pair, but doesn't, you know, in this wrestling, he doesn't really know what he's doing because he does not really see yet with clarity. He just has the feel that these things are wrong. And, of course, if he's blind, he can wrestle with the higher of the pairs of opposites as well as the lower. Now, that's something I didn't say before, but it just dawned upon me. He is blind to the issues, so he may well wrestle with something that would lead him into the right place because he is identified with the lower tendency. Or when identified with the higher tendency, he wrestles with the lower tendency. So much is done on the basis of feel. You know, wrestling is a very hands-on sport. You're coming to grips with something. It's all about the sense of touch, which is connected to the sixth ray. So for a long time, you're fighting against that which would do you good and that which would do you ill, and it's very much like the fourth ray in this case, but even with more intensity, I suspect. The two who seek to hinder and to blind, but if we call these two specifically those who seek to hinder and to blind, then we have to think of glamour and illusion, because the higher self, the soul self, does not seek to hinder and to blind. But he doesn't really know how to come to grips with glamour and illusion, and especially with glamour, which is always based upon the sense of duality. He sees the way free, and this way is leading straight into the light of the soul, and the way will lead beyond as well. I don't know if at this point he sees the way beyond. It stands revealed. Or maybe he does see something of what can go beyond the third degree. He ceases where he is, still not a third degree initiate, from the clamor and the fight. St. Paul, as a second degree initiate, was heading off to Damascus, now a scene of war, interestingly, heading off to Damascus to throw his powers against the new sect that were followers of Jesus, and along the way he received a big surprise. But he was earnestly treading that path, and along the path you will stop and defend your ideals and your visions and your belief, and it will be a noisy dust-raising process. But all of this is stopped because we are seeing now instead of just feeling ourselves in the fight. Never seeing too clearly and feeling we must fight, now we see clearly, more clearly. He finds his way into the presence. How does he do that? Well, he has to at least enter the higher mental plane in order to do that, because the angel of the presence also reveals the presence still within itself. In other words, as a soul on the third, on the second subplane by this point of the higher mental plane, one can already feel and sense the presence. One can go through the golden door and pierce the disc of golden light, and one will get a more intense impression of the presence. One can rise along the Antikorana and bypass the disc of golden light, and then one will also gradually come into an increasing intensity of presence. There are many ways, it seems, to the presence. So he is now beginning to merge with the soul, with the angel of the presence, and this is what this is all about. Knee to knee for humility, foot to foot for the power to tread the path, they stand. The greater is conveying strength to the less. Hand to hand for strength of doing in the world. Breast to breast for sensitivity and the ability to nurture others and to feel in generally the higher types of feelings of the breast, perhaps involving the heart as well, forehead to forehead for sharing the same one-pointed vision. This is the way, the fivefold way of merging for the sixth ray angel of the presence, I'm just calling it that, and the sixth ray soul. And thus they merge and blend. So now we have the necessary requirements for the third initiation. The rousing trumpet call goes forth. Maybe as a result of the merging, a new type of requirement comes upon him. The descent of the spirit can stimulate the trumpet to call. There is some making more alert that now occurs. The warfare below is no more, the warfare between the pairs of opposites and the warfare between the soul and personality, because now they are merged. The battle ends. The glamour and the clouds have disappeared. When fire and water are added to each other, we have glamour and clouds, and this is the condition of the lower path. So there's been a clarification on the lower 18 subplanes because of one's entry into the higher mental plane in a conscious manner. And instead, the light and glory of the way. Now, you know, in a way, we're already in the soul at this point. We're merged with the soul. We are seeing in the unity, and the way goes forward towards the way of higher evolution. So maybe the light and glory of the path that lies ahead could be seen as revealed. That light, the light of the angel of the presence, did I say solar angel earlier? That light of the angel of the presence, which is attuned to the planetary logos and the higher planes, reveals the plan. And so from within the soul, one sees the plan as one could not have within the lower 18 subplanes. And the wholeness, the sense of the wholeness, is always with us. There is an inescapable, relentless sense of wholeness with us now, which is very good, because the plan is always meant to be applied by those who have a sense of the whole to which they are applying it. You can't really apply the plan in a partial manner. And with this sense of wholeness, the purpose which relates to the wholeness is revealed. Let us say more of the planetary purpose, not the solar systemic or beyond, but the planetary purpose in which the sixth ray soul can cooperate, and he gives his all to this, holding nothing back, inspired by the wholeness and the plan that is seen, and with that sense of inspiration which the sixth ray type can easily marshal, he gives his all to serve that plan with, I suppose, undying enthusiasm. You know, it doesn't really die down. If you think about it, who's going on the path to Sirius? Blissful dancing points of fanatical devotion. There's still plenty of sixth ray inspiration there. They are, in a higher way, divine fanatics. So even at this pace, we cannot expect the higher type of fanaticism to die down. Okay, let's read it then. Ray 6, the angel of the presence reaches down, and at the midway point pierces the fog of glamour. The path stands clear. The one who treads the path and stops to fight, who wrestles blindly with the two, who seek to hinder and to blind, sees the way free. It stands revealed. He ceases from the clamor and the fight. He finds his way into the presence. Knee to knee and foot to foot they stand, hand to hand and breast to breast, forehead to forehead, see them stand, and thus they merge and blend. I wonder who is the one who's seeing them stand. Someone who's describing the whole process, I suppose. The trumpet call goes forth. The warfare is no more. The battle ends. The glamour and the clouds have disappeared. The light and glory of the way is here. That light reveals the plan. The whole is with us now. The purpose is revealed. With all I have, I serve the plan. It's quite inspiring. You know, every ray is needed, and there'll come a time later when we'll all long to have the sixth ray come back. It's hard to imagine at the moment, perhaps, but every ray is an antidote for the abuse of other rays. So this is the end of Angel of the Presence Commentaries, number 7, I think so. Number 7, as Esoteric Psychology 2, and page 47. And we will go on, and beginning of Angel of the Presence, Angel of the Presence Commentaries, EP 2, page 47. And it's Ray 7 that we will be taking up now. So all you six-ray souls, you know, this speaks to me, certainly. I've been there. I know it. See what you can do with this merging with the solar angel. At least get the process started. Maybe a little while before it happens. But we can think imaginatively in the right direction. Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.